The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
All right, just a couple of more thoughts about this whistleblower at the Tavistock Center in Great Britain. Again, this is the major transgender treatment center in Great Britain, where for many years young people, we're talking minors, have gone to the Tavistock Center confused about their gender, confused about their sexuality, and convinced you're in the wrong body. If you're a boy, you're supposed to be a girl. If you're a girl, you're supposed to be boy. Hormone treatments, sexual reassignment surgery, and so forth. Well, back in 2018, one of the chief psychiatrist and psychoanalyst by the name of David Bell wrote a very critical report stating, you know what? We don't have a lot of scientific evidence for this. We are treating children in a way that is not scientifically based. It is far more emotional than scientific, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. About the same time, a young woman who had been treated at the Tavistock Center filed a lawsuit saying she was deceived, she was too young to make these decisions, etc. It was a huge court case in Great Britain, and after days of expert testimony, the determination was made by a British court that the Tavistock Center and the National Health Service was indeed liable for damages, and that what they were doing was basically unscientific. So get this. What is being presented as scientifically solid here in America, what is being pushed by the liberal left all the way to the president of the United States in his State of the Union address the other night. He said, I want to speak to all the transgender individuals. I just want you to know your president has your back. Well, I've been saying for a long time, there is no scientific evidence that transgenderism even exists. Well, a court in Great Britain came to the same conclusion after listening to experts from around the world testify in this case. Well, since Dr. Bell wrote that controversial report, he has retired. But in commenting on the court case, he said, quote, it was jaw-dropping because it was very strong. And he feels vindicated by the judgment of the court. But get this. So he wrote a report saying, hey, what we're doing is not scientifically based. It went to court. The court came to the same conclusion. Dr. Bell said, quote, I am astonished. The judgment seems to have had so little effect on the organization of GIDS. That's the subgroup in Tavistock, Gender Identity Center or Services. He said, they haven't changed. He wrote the report that accused them of basically abusing children. The British court came to the same conclusion. And he said they haven't changed anything. Quote, ordinarily, heads would roll. The management structure has changed slightly, but it feels like window dressing. And this from the story, whatever the court's verdict, it cannot change the fact that the organization to which Bell devoted the greater part of his working life did not respect his rights as a whistleblower. His retirement means that the threats of disciplinary action against him are over. He is free at last to say what he likes. He said, however, almost from the start, the center tried to silence me and instituted proceedings against me. Was I frightened? Yes and no. I believed I was doing the right thing. I never doubted that, and most of my colleagues in the adult department supported me. So when I went up to my floor at the Tavistock, I could be oblivious and get on with my work. The real betrayal wasn't of me personally, but of the trust duty to whistleblowers and to its wider mission. Since 1920, the Tavistock has specialized in talking cures. But the thing that enables you to sleep at night is a good lawyer. And so anyway, he goes into how they tried to silence him when he disagreed with mainstream thought about transgenderism. He talks about the personal issues he had to face. Someone told Dr. Bell that a child as young as 8 had been referred to an endocrinologist for treatment. He said, quote, I could not go on like this. I could not live with myself given the poor treatment the children were obtaining. So he was a whistleblower, one of the chief psychiatrists and psychoanalysts at the Tavistock Center, and it took him years to come to the conclusion, we were wrong, and we were literally abusing these children by giving them hormone treatments and so forth. The medical community in America is a long ways behind on this. The medical community here in America is still teaching and preaching that transgenderism really exists without any real scientific evidence. It will be interesting to see how long it will take before this court decision in Great Britain has any impact on the medical community here in America. But sadly, evidently, according to this Dr. Bell, this whistleblower, things at this transgender institute, the Tavistock Institute in Great Britain, has not really changed. Ideology runs deep and is very, very stubborn. Fascinating to watch this. Will there be whistleblowers here in America? I would think so. This case in Great Britain has garnered a lot of international attention. And again, experts from around the world testified in the case, and I think it's going to become harder and harder and harder to keep the party line, scientifically speaking and medically speaking, that transgenderism is based in science, because it's not. So we'll see. But in the meantime, hundreds, if not thousands, of children are being mistreated with so-called transgender treatment. They're being abused, according to a court in Great Britain. And yet, here in America, all the way to the President of the United States, this child abuse is not only protected, it's celebrated. Sad indeed. All right, we need to take a break. A city in Texas has declared itself a sanctuary city. Yeah, it's a good story. Wait till you hear it. My number is 877-BOB-LIVE. We'll return quickly.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
The term sanctuary city exploded on the scene several years ago when Barack Obama was president. Several cities across America declared themselves as sanctuary cities where they refused to allow federal agents to come in and deport illegal aliens. That actually began during the Obama administration. It grew exponentially, at least the movement, sanctuary city movement, under the Trump presidency. Cities all around the country said, we are sanctuary cities, federal agents are not welcome here, blah, 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 blah. Well, there is a new sanctuary city movement rising up, and Lubbock, Texas is now the largest city in America to declare themselves a sanctuary city for the unborn. Yep, took it to a vote of the people, and on Saturday, it became official. Quote, the city of Lubbock, Texas approved an ordinance banning abortion procedures within city limits and has declared itself a sanctuary city for the unborn. While not the first, Lubbock is now the largest city in the U.S. to approve such a measure. Lubbock residents backed the measure with 62% of the vote on Saturday, joining dozens of other Texas cities that have already passed similar ordinances. Lubbock is the first of these cities to make a declaration while already having an abortion clinic within its limits. Will this be challenged? Oh, yeah. The American Civil Liberties Union of Texas has already voiced their opposition, and they said they're going to court. Planned Parenthood has already said we're going to court. So we will see. But as of now, the city of Lubbock, Texas have said, we are a sanctuary city. Abortions are not welcome within our city limits. That will be challenged in court. We will see how it goes. And then there's this. I had this in my stack yesterday. Didn't get to it. But do you have any idea how much the athletes that have been drafted in the 2021 NFL draft can expect to earn on their first contract? Now, remember, these are kids. Some of them, a couple of them, are not even adults yet. They're not even 21s. Most of them are 19, 20, 21. A couple are 22. But these are kids. Do you have any idea what they're going to make? Let me give you an idea. It is estimated that Trevor Lawrence, number one pick, picked by Urban Meyer for the Jacksonville Jaguars, his total contract will be $36.9 million with a signing bonus of $24.2 million. A signing bonus of $24.2 million. Total contract, 36.9. Pick number two is Zach Wilson, picked by the New York Jets. Total contract, $35.2 million. A signing bonus of $22.9 million. Pick number three, Trey Lance, picked by the San Francisco 49ers. Contract, $34.2 million, signing bonus, $22.2 million. Pick number four, Kyle Pitts, picked by the Atlanta Falcons. It is estimated his total contract will be $32.9 million. Signing bonus, $21.3 million. Coming in at number five, picked by the Cincinnati Bengals, Ja'Marr Chase. Contract, $30.9 million, a signing bonus of $19.8 million. Let's jump down. Justin Fields. Yes, Ohio State's Justin Fields. Many people were extremely disappointed that he was taken at number 11 by the Chicago Bears. I think Justin Fields was very disappointed. Well, what is the 11th? This is not number 5, 6, 7, 8. This is number 11 in the NFL draft. It is estimated that Justin Fields, signing with the Chicago Bears, a total contract of $18.9 million with a signing bonus of $11.1 million. How is that young man going to live on just $19 million? And the signing bonus. If I understand this correctly, the signing bonus, he could get hurt in training camp and never take a snap with the Chicago Bears, and he's still going to bank $11.1 million. You go down the list, number 13, 14, 15, 16. Let's go down to the bottom of the barrel. Let's go down to number 20. Here is the 20th pick in the NFL draft. Kadarius Toney, drafted by the New York Jets. His total contract is going to be a paltry $13.7 million signing bonus of $7.35 million. And then you go down, Najee Harris from Alabama, drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers. I am shocked that he didn't go higher. He was number 24. Contract, $13.1 million. Signing bonus, $6.9 million. Let's go down to, all right, pick number 30. This is number 30. Greg Rousseau, picked by the Buffalo Bills. His total contract will be $11.6 million with a signing bonus of $5.8 million. Houston, we have a problem. Well, say, aren't you happy for those kids? I guess I am. But we got a real problem when we're paying 20-year-old kids multi millions of dollars.